Hallelujah. I'm going to give you five things that will work financially. How many of you want that? How many of you want increase? See, we can do a lot of things and we can pray and get real spiritual, but at the end of the day, you know, we're going to need financial increase. We're going to need finances again for our own personal lives and for the life of the kingdom, the life of the church. We're kingdom people, we're kingdom builders. So don't get real spiritual, you know, and freak out and think, well, all I need to do is just pray and seek God. No, at the end of the day, you still need some money, honey. Can somebody say amen? So let me give you these five. I don't know how far we'll get in this, but I hope I can get them all in. Number one is that you need to position yourself to hear God's voice on covenant wealth. Did you write that down? You need to position yourself to hear God's voice on covenant wealth. Now, I say that to you because there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of, you know, you've got the voice of the flesh. You got the voice of the devil, the enemy. You got the voice of the world. And you've got the Holy Spirit. You've got preachers that are preaching some things that are truth and, you know, some things that are partial truth. But it's very important that we hear the Word of God, and we have to be in position to hear those scriptures that regard to or bring, if you will, financial increase into our life. We can't get, you know, real far on one side of the coin or real far out on one side of the track, but we got to stay steady in middle ground and understand that every time we hear the scripture, by God's design, by divine design, when we come to the scripture and we read the scripture and we hear the scripture, it produces faith. And faith is what really appropriates or opens that hand of God into our life. God does not want us to come behind in any good thing. The Bible teaches us those that seek the Lord shall find Him. And I believe that God is a good God. I really do. And sometimes people, when they're way down at the bottom of the totem pole, it's hard for them to see that God really does want to bless them too. But get your eyes off of other people and just get your eyes on God. God will take you to a level that you never thought you could go. You can go further in God than you ever thought you could go. But, you know, we're going to find out that we've got to position ourselves and get ourselves in the right place to hear the voice of God. Now, let me give you the scripture, because I could stay and spend probably an hour on each one of these. But you know most of these. I can quote them without even going to them. But we need to hear them again. In John chapter 10, if you'll turn there, let's read it right quick. Because this is not automatic, just because you get saved. You don't just automatically come into all the blessings of God just because you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen? I said there's a lot of voices out there, but His sheep hear His voice. John chapter 10, verse 27, He said, "My sheep." How many of you consider yourself sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ? All right. He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." So when you position yourself to hear God's voice on covenant wealth, then you're on your way to walking in it. See, there's a lot of people that don't get themselves in position so that they can receive the Word. And I told you, I believe I said this the last time I was here on Wednesday night, that one of the devil's worst nightmare, of course his worst nightmare is that you get saved and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. That you get turned on to God, and that God begins to use you as His vessel and His instrument in this earth. But then when you get financially free, I mean, you are really, really, really attacking the kingdom of Satan. Come on. In the earth, see, we know that it takes finances. In the earth, we know that it takes money, just like it does for our own personal lives. It takes money for the kingdom of God. Well, if we know that, then that means God wants to bless us. I said, God wants to bring that increase into our life. Now, if you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, because the Word has so much to say. I hear sometimes, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't talk about prosperity so much. Well, but the Bible talks about it a lot. The Word of God talks about increase. It talks about abundance. It talks about wealth. It talks about prosperity. It's all throughout the Word of God. It's interwoven in there. So if God didn't want us to know about it, He shouldn't have put it in there. Amen. And the problem is that some people get so hung up that think that it's spiritual to be poor or it's spiritual to be left out. How many know that's no fun? I mean, you got to be crazy to think that you're gonna fulfill all of your desires and all your dreams and not have any money. Look at somebody and say, I'm not crazy. All right. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, this is that shouting scripture. We know these things, but I want to see if you pick up on this. It says, now it shall come to pass if. Do you see that word in there? If. Okay. I circled that in my Bible because to me that tells me that there is a condition. There is a condition for me to walk in the blessings of God. I'm talking about that realm of blessing that will take me over the top. That's why I've got to learn to position myself so that faith can come. I've got to hear the voice of God, not the voice of men. I can't hear the voice of religion and learn to prosper in God. I can't do it man's way and learn to have the blessing, the true blessing of God. I've got to learn to do it God's way so that God can bless me His way. He said, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's what we were talking about a while ago. If we will obey, if we will allow God, He will make us rich. You know, I've got a software with 26 translations or more in there, and I hardly ever use the Living Bible, but I just looked at that scripture and that thing just flashed out at me. If we will listen to God, if we will obey, if we allow Him, He'll make us rich. And I mean, it just went all over me because I hardly ever read the Living Bible. I read the New Living Bible a lot. But see, there's a lot of nuggets in the Word of God that we can receive those things and increase and build our faith. But I wanted you to see that in Deuteronomy because it talks about if we will hearken. The original King James says if we'll hearken to the voice. Now here it says if we will listen or obey the voice. But if you do a study on that word listen or hearken, you'll find out that it means to intently listen or with listening, I should say, with the intent to obey. Let me say that again. Listening with the intent to obey. In other words, it's like you were lost and somebody was telling you how to get to point B. You would listen with the intent that you were going to obey the direction. Do you see the difference in just sitting in church and just coming, you know, to hear a sermon or hear a teaching or a message? There's a difference between hearing something and hearing it with the intent to obey. Amen. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Not only do we hear it, but we've got to understand it so we can obey it, because we have to understand that if we hear what God said, then God will do what God said He will do. I just said a mouthful. I said, if we hear what God said, then God will do what God said He will do. I'm preaching better. So, if you put your name in there, and I put my name in, when I find a scripture with God's blessing, when it says nations there, you know, that's talking about people. That's talking about us. He said, I will bless you. And he said, I will set you high above all the nations. Just put your name right there. See, God's intent is to set you above all the rest of the people in the earth, all the rest of the world. He wants his people to excel. Come on, somebody. So, John chapter 10, verse 10. You know the scripture. What does it say? Put it up there right quick if you would, Victor. John 10, 10. It says, the thief cometh. I want to kind of get moving here so we can get through all these. John 10, 10. It says, the thief cometh, but what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. In other words, the Lord is letting us know that there's somebody that does not want us to be wealthy. He's letting us know that there's somebody that does not want you to walk in your covenant right, that he doesn't want you to get a hold of the Word. Now, we know these scriptures, most of us in here, because we use these scriptures all the time. They're some of our favorite scriptures. But I'm telling you that we have to position ourselves to continually hear these scriptures. I have to continually hear John 10:10 a whole lot. I have to continually listen to that scripture that the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and destroy, because I have the devil attacking me all the time, trying to discourage me, trying to take away what God is wanting to get to me. So I never get tired of coming back and looking at the scripture and seeing what the scripture says, because all these things that I'm giving you, again, they're not automatic. They don't come just because we come to a good church. They don't come just because you got a pastor that will sit here and pound the Word of God into you. They come because we listen to the Word, we get the Word down in us, and then we have a very, very intent, or we're very intent on doing the Word. Amen. All right. And then Deuteronomy 8:18 says that it is God who gives us the power of wealth. Now, all this is under principle number one. What's principle number one? Position yourself to hear God's voice on covenant wealth, okay? In other words, we have to be a covenant defender. You can read Deuteronomy 8:18 just like I can, but we have to understand that that's where our empowerment comes from. It comes from God. It doesn't come because we're highly educated. It doesn't come because we're highly skilled. It doesn't come through our paycheck. It doesn't come through the world system. It comes through God. Are you with me? So remember, you need to hear God for yourself. You need to hear what we call a rhema, the Word of God going off on the inside of your spirit, because you need to hear things from God to get where you need to go. I had to hear things from God to get where I need to go. And you have to hear things from God to get where you need to go. You have to allow God to speak certain things into your life so that your faith can be at a level where you can step out in that and do that, obeying God, and then watch the hand of God move. I can sit here and tell you about these things all day long, but see, somewhere, at some point, you've got to hear the voice of God and say, you know what, that clicked, that registered, that's right. And you begin to step out in faith and you begin to do these things. So God has to speak to you personally. But you know what? You've got to get yourself in position for God to speak to you personally. Come on, somebody. Did he save you? I said, did you get saved? Well, it's the same God that saves is the same God that heals. The same God that will meet your need, okay? Everything is relative. We have to consistently position ourselves, get ourselves in place to hear the Word of God. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we have to realize that, you know, that God has a plan, he has a master plan, and like somebody was shouting a while ago, we have to renew our mind so that we can prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God is. Number two, I'm going to give you another principle. I said I'll give you five. I'm trying real hard. Number two is you got to begin to learn and apply, now listen to this, biblical principles in godly finances. Did you write that down? Begin to learn and apply biblical principles in godly finances. I found out a long time ago there are finances and there are godly finances. I found out that God was blessing me so that I could not just have for myself, but so that I could finance the gospel. It's called godly finances. I found out a long time ago that tithe is holy. It belongs to God. And if I take that tithe and do something else with that tithe, then the Bible says that I'm robbing God. Come on now. So what happens is that we have, again, these opportunities for God to do good things in our life. That God blesses us because we know He's the one that gives us the increase. We know He's the one that multiplies the seed. But any good farmer knows that if he takes all of his seed and eats it, he's not going to have anything to sow with. Are you here? So we have to learn that there's biblical principles in godly finances. And what thrills me is, oh, I tell you, I can sit up here and I love to hear a testimony like Marvin had a while ago about the watch. And I could tell you a lot of those. Wayne and I could tell you a lot of those kind of testimonies. But you know, I love it when God does that for somebody else. I love it when you can stand up and say, look what the Lord has done because I was obedient. I like to see God work in people's lives and people that, you know, that just kind of going through life and all of a sudden God puts them in a position or God puts them in a place and He showers that blessing down upon them. That's God. That's what God wants to do. So we have to get into that place where we're flowing in the Holy Ghost. We're flowing as being led by God because remember that God is leading us to a destiny. God is taking us to a higher realm. God is taking us to a place of increase. So it becomes important that we position ourselves and then that we understand these biblical principles in godly finances. Because there's finances, but then there's godly finances. Are you with me? Now, in Proverbs 3, let's go read that one right quick because we have to see that when we put these things in order in our life, then we can't help but increase. We can't help. I mean, it's just designed by God. It's God's divine design. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 9 and 10. Now, here's an important key for you. What's the first word in verse 9? What? Honor. Everybody say honor. Honor the Lord with what? With your possessions. See, what we have to remember is that when we honor God, God honors us. How do we honor God? We honor God by putting Him first. We honor God by giving Him our possessions. So as a sub, like number A under number two principle, here's what I wrote. I wrote, giving is an act of worship. Remember I told you a while ago, this revelation came to me years ago about coming to the altar and worshiping God. Giving is an act of your worship into God. As much as us sitting here singing and praising God with all these lights and the music, we're praising God when we come to the altar and give of Him our possessions. I think I shared with you this revelation. You know, we've got to see the difference between the Malachi 3 tithing and the Genesis 14 tithing. You know, we don't want to tithe because we have to. We don't want to tithe because we're forced to. We tithe because we love God. We see it in His Word, and even if we didn't get a tax write-off for it, we'd do it anyway. Because we put God first in everything we do. Are you listening to me? Then Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. You know that scripture, but look, if you read that scripture out of the original, the King James Version, you'll find out that The first word that God said was give.
Amen.
And then there's 39 words after the word give. In the New King James, I think it's 37. There's a difference, but I'm talking about because most of my original study came from the original. But listen to me. In other words, God used 39 words to express what he would do when we become givers. Are you listening to me? So here's number B under number two principle, in that giving releases God's financial favor. Are you with me? Giving releases God's financial favor on our life. That's part of getting in that flow. That's part of what our brother was talking about a while ago. You get yourself in a position that all of a sudden gifts start looking for you. Finances start looking for you. Money starts looking for you. That's why we make that confession. Money cometh easily and frequently because it's looking for you. Are you playing hard to get? Are you going to let it find? Come on, are you going to let it find you? Okay. Well, I believe I would too. Amen. So we have to see that. And then here's A, B, C. I don't know how I've got these labeled. A, B, C under principle number two is that godly giving drives the devil crazy.
Amen.
Some of you haven't got that understanding yet. That godly giving drives the devil crazy. Because it's not natural to give away your money. It's not natural when you're, you know, just about on your last dime and you come and you give it to the Lord. Are y'all here? But it drives the devil crazy. Let me show you this. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Somebody say praise the Lord. Y'all are sure quiet. I know you're listening good. This is good stuff, okay? That's why I'm going slow and taking it easy for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. See, all of you are, in essence, your partners. Yeah, you're members of the church. You're faithful supporters, but you're supporters of the vision, the same vision, that heavenly vision, that godly vision that he's given to us. Amen. That's why I can stand up and prophesy to you, because you're vesting into the kingdom and into the kingdom of God. Now look at this. I want to see if you catch this, okay? We have to take every opportunity to sow. We're talking about learning to apply biblical finances or godly finances to biblical principles. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. Did you see that? And he who regards the clouds will not reap. In other words, are you looking at the conditions? You looking at the situations? Yeah, but Pastor, gas is going up every day. Well, what are you looking at? Are you looking at God? Is God the one you're trusting in? Or are you looking at the world condition? If you're looking at the world condition, you're going to get discouraged quite a bit. It says, as you know, look at verse 5, as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So we've got to keep on sowing. We've got to look for opportunities to sow. I would never come to a church or never come to a meeting that I didn't take the opportunity to sow. That's why I teach you these things, because you have to learn to sow, and you have to be somewhere where these principles are applied. I wouldn't want to be a part of a church that was begging for money and always begging, you know, we need this and we need that and we need you to give and we need that. No, it has to be godly finances and biblical principles. Come on. Now, go back to verse 1. I don't know if how many of you caught verse 1. I read it kind of slow, but I bet you some of you didn't catch this. What does it say? Cast your bread upon the waters and what? Did you catch that? How many of you caught that the first time we read it? See, this is where you have to read Scripture over and over and over. What does it say? No, but what does it say after that? And what? That's the Word of God. He said, if I cast my bread on the waters, he said, you will find it, what? After many days. I got to expect it to come back. It's going to come back because God said it was going to come back. See, some of you, you know, that's why you can't get happy when you're giving. You think, man, it's like going down to JCPenney's or something. I'm not going to see that again. Did you see that? You have to expect to be blessed. I expect increase, both the expected and the unexpected. Amen. Right? Amen. Well, why can I say that? Because I sow seed. I sow seed. If I sow seed, then I can expect in many days for it to come back. If I sow enough days, then the many days, start coming day by day by day. If I sow once a year or once a month, well, it's going to stretch out the many days. Philippians chapter 4, now you know this one, but I got some things here to show you out of this. I'm just putting you in position, and we're talking about, you know, when we give, it drives the devil crazy. It sure does. It's not natural to come up and, you know, put money in the hand of the preacher. It's not natural to give when you need that money for something else. But we're not following after natural anymore. Amen? Now, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, people spend all kind of money on all kind of things. And you know, there's a bunch of scams and there's a bunch of things that you can really good hoodwink. Amen? Oh, such deals out there and people trying to make a buck and so on and so forth. So we're not talking about a scam. I mean, no, God's not a scammer. Now, I know there's preachers that have been scammers. And I know there's organizations that have been scammers. But we're talking about the Word of God. I said, we're talking about God. Come on. It says here in verse 15, he said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving. So we've got to learn to operate in both of those, giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Every time you sow your seed into the gospel, you open up another account. Hey, yeah, you open up an account. Now look at this. It says, indeed, I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing unto God. And then verse 19, we always quote this, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, you know, that was Paul's revelation. He said, you have given, you have planted into my ministry, you have done this so the vision could come to pass. And he said, because you've done that, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Jesus. I'm telling you that my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. My God, not Paul's God, but my God shall supply, because we're living today, not then. Amen. And God is the same. So we've got to get a hold of this, because when we sow into the vision, when we sow into the church, then we can stand up and declare, my God shall supply all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So here's some more things for you. Giving releases financial favor. I give you that one. Giving is an act of worship. I give you that one. Giving drives the devil crazy. Then the fourth thing, or I guess I'm labeling it D, A, B, C, D. D here would be give God the right to be your supplier. What are we teaching that? We're teaching principles that'll bring financial increase to our life. What does that mean? Give God the right to be your supplier. It means that you have to be led by God to where you give. We don't just give, look for somebody poor to give them something. Now, you may be led to do that, but I'll tell you, I would rather, and I'll do whatever God leads me to do, but I would rather give where God tells me to give. Amen. Whether that ministry be prosperous or that ministry not be prosperous. Amen. Most of the time where God tells me to give, that ministry is prosperous. And it don't look like in the natural they need what I give them. But it's being obedient to God, because being obedient to God is what causes the many days to shorten. Come on. In the average church, the average church person don't give. It's when they hear scriptures on it. It's when faith begins to rise on the inside of them, they become givers. Not everybody goes to church as givers, just like not everybody goes to church as tithers. People may tithe when they have something, to tithe, but then they don't tithe when they don't go to church. Moving right along here. I knew y'all enjoy this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Sure gets quiet in this full gospel Presbyterian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8. Now, I'm going over these scriptures again with you because these appropriate faith that moves the hand of God. Some of y'all need to get a Bible. You come in here and you don't even own a Bible. You need to go back and read these scriptures, reread them. You open up Rita's Bible, you can't even read the scripture. She has marked it up. I said, what's all those marks in your Bible? She said, every time you preach that, I've wrote something there. I said, get you another Bible. Are y'all here? Look at this. But I say, verse 6, if you found it, say, I found it. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will what? Also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Can I just stop there and ask you, what do you not understand about that verse? What can I help you with about that? Does that need any more translation? Do you need help understanding that verse? Okay. Why don't people just read the Bible and do what it says? It says, let each one give as the pastor coerces and twists their arm. No. Let each one give as what? He purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. I'm on principle number 2. We've got to apply biblical principles in godly finances. We said it's a gift. It's an act of worship. It releases favor. It drives the devil crazy. We have to give God the right to be our supplier. In other words, we have to be led where we give. And here's another one. You have to let the Holy Ghost help you give. What do you mean? I mean, He will tell you how much to give. But you're saying, what if He tells me too much? That's some people's attitude. Oh, listen, He knows exactly what's going on. You can't hide anything from God. You can't give what you don't have. Are y'all here? I'm talking about these principles. You've got to let the Holy Ghost help you, because if you're going to reap bountifully, you've got to sow bountifully. Amen. Cast your bread upon the water. Amen. Here's number three. I thought I'd move along a little quicker. Here's the third principle. You ready? All those others were little subtitles. Okay? So you get your notes right. Remember, here's the third principle. Remember, covenant prosperity, and this is important, is a process. Is a process. Because you will have opportunity to get discouraged along the way. You will have opportunity to have days where you say or want to say, this ain't working. Now, how many, I know you never have had those kind of days, but remember, we're not talking about get-rich-quick schemes. We're talking about a process of learning to hear God and obey what we hear from God. Because I can assure you, only what God tells you to do will really, in the end, be blessed. So it's a process. It's a process. Mark chapter 4. Let's look at this one right quick. Mark chapter 4. Now, here's what we read about the parable of the sower, right? And the seed. But there's this principle in here about a process. You know, a farmer don't just put his seed in the ground tonight and then go out in the morning and expect the corn, right? You don't expect the watermelon the day after you plant it. You know, you're just getting out there pounding the ground and getting discouraged and crying and moaning. It's a process. There's got to be certain elements and conditions. Look at verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter what? Seed on the ground. And should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. But the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, there it is, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So we read about the seed, we read about the soil, we read about the sleep, and we read about the sickle. There's a time to plant, there's a time for conditioning the soil, there's a time just to sleep, relax, chill out, and there's a time to get the sickle out for the harvest. Are you with me? So it's a process of time, but it will come to pass. Did you hear what I just said? It may not happen in the morning, it may not happen next week, but all you keep on doing is doing what the Word says to do, and it will come to pass. I can say that with a surety to you, because God is not a God who can lie. Amen. Then Psalms 126. Hallelujah. Now, when I get to your part, you shout on this one, okay? Hallelujah. Here's what I wrote down under the subtitle for covenant prosperity as a process, is that there must be a harvest. According to the Word of God, there must be a harvest. Because whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. All right, are you ready? Psalms 126, did you find it? I'm going to read the whole thing. It's not very long. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. Now shout if anything applies to you. Some of you already missed it right there. None of you were ever in captivity, were you? None of you were ever in bondage by the enemy. You've been angels all your life. You never were subject to the taskmaster. You never were under pressure. You were never in a battle that the devil had you pinned down. I said, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. Now you're getting it. We were like, see, you got to have somebody stand up here and explain the Bible to you. Y'all are using somebody just reading. What did it say? Well, I don't know. We're like those who dream. Do you dream? Then our mouths were filled with cussing. What? Laughter. I told you, it makes the devil crazy when it looks like you can't pay the bill. When it looks like, oh man, they're about to repossess, but God comes through. Hallelujah. And you just begin to laugh at the devil. He's filled your mouth with laughter. Amen. Because you know God is a God who cannot lie. He says, our tongue was singing. Then the nations, they said among the nations, the peoples, the Lord has done great things for them. I said, I like hearing testimonies what God has done for you. The Lord has done great things for you. God has done great things for a lot of you. And the Lord has done great things for us. And the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Look at this. He says, and we are glad, not sad. We are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. What is sheaves? Sheaves is the harvest. Bringing the sheaves are the harvest with him. Did you catch that? Shall doubtless come again. Those who sow, those who cast their bread upon many water, it shall come back. It doubtless. Did you see that? Doubtless. Not maybe, doubtless. In other words, there's no doubt that it will come. Wow. Now look, there must be a harvest in due season. Due season, remember I told you a while ago, it'll come. Some it'll come sooner than others. It's a process and we must understand it. I got about a minute left. Let me give you I said five, but didn't I? Let me give you four and five right quick. God's promises cannot be broken if acted upon in faith. That's principle number four, okay? And the scripture for that is Hebrews 11:6, where it talks about God is a rewarder. So under that little subtitle, I put God is a rewarder. God always rewards faith. Have you got that in your understanding? God always rewards faith. We have to be diligent and consistent, not casual inquirers. We come under a different pay grade. Are you with me? Proverbs 10:22. You can just put that one up there so they can see it right quick, Victor. We covered that last week. But, you know, I put the little sub-note here. Means that we are empowered to succeed. The blessings of the Lord, remember, maketh one rich and adds no sorrow to it. I'm just quoting it by memory. I don't even have it written down, but listen to me. You can write down that that means that God is the one that empowers you to succeed. Another scripture is Ephesians 3:20 that says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us." In other words, here's what I put down. The power is in you to make you financially free. Y'all are not shouting very good. You got the power when you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now light the fuse and let it go. In number five, Romans chapter 4:21 is the scripture, but here's the fifth principle. You have to be convinced that God's financial system works. I said you have to be fully persuaded. Look at this last scripture with me in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, I believe it is. You got it? Have you got it? Look, what does it say? And being what? I like the King James. The original says, being fully persuaded. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform it. Do you understand that Abraham was not even saved, but yet he believed God? He believed God so much that he took his son up to that mountain to sacrifice him. And he raised up his hand with that machete in there, ready to run it right through his heart of Isaac. And the moment he raised his hand up, God knew he had a covenant man in Abraham. And God stayed his hand, and an angel came and provided a ram. Are you here? He was willing to do whatever it took to show that he would trust God. And when you do whatever it takes to trust God, God will provide. But you know what? You've got to be fully persuaded. How many of you can remember when you got saved? Did God really save you? Can you remember some of the things that you come out of? See, some of you were so good, you can't remember anything bad you did. Shame on you. Shame on you. God saved you. I'm grateful that God saved me. How about you? And all I'm trying to do is, if we can have that same enthusiasm about God's salvation for us, then that's just a small chunk of the whole pie. Amen. If we'll just allow God and obey God, he said, "I'll make you rich." Amen. Well, I'm just going to be foolish enough to believe God. Amen. People call me foolish all the time for being such a fanatic about things of God. But I'd rather be a fanatic about God than anything else I can think of. Amen. Come on, let's stand up. I don't have the other clock. That's why I couldn't tell what...